I, we pastored together in Tucson, Arizona. And he was our pastor of worship. And then the Lord moved me along and into Overwhelmed by Grace. And then I was out here, and by the blessing of the Almighty, God brought my dear friend. Because Mom lives here. Amen. And thank you. But just before we get our kids, they need to be dismissed. And okay. What's that? We're inviting them. Okay. Move that way. Okay. Okay. I do want to say something. Many of you have asked about how did last week go. Our Lord sets the prisoners free.
Amen.
Amen. And we were there. It was a great joy. Glenn and Glenda and I were there. Dan Dow was there. It was just holy. I don't know how to describe it. Somehow the Lord used everything that you could say to these men, and they're in prison for a reason. They've made some decisions that were not well, and many of these men will never get out, but I'm telling you, they went free, absolute free. I wish you could have seen the joy on their face. And when I gave the invitation, the chaplain said, I do want you to give an invitation. I gave the invitation. I think there were six people, I think, that stood back there that didn't come forward. And they filled the place. And as I'm walking along, they knelt down and I'm putting my hands on their heads. And I told them, put your arms around your brothers. Put your hand on them. And they got in, packed in like sardines. I'm not kidding you. And they were clear down the aisle here. And it was just a holy place. It was, I can't thank you enough for praying. And it's just a privilege. Band of Brothers and we have Malachi dads there that all our Band of Brothers, our guys out of that, go into the prison on Sunday nights and mentor these men. And the classes just keep growing. So it has just been a holy time. I have to say how we even got into it. You know, our Band of Brothers, I surely didn't want to start the Band of Brothers here. You know, Pastor Mike and Goody tried to get me to start it for a year and a half. And I told them there is no way on this planet I'm starting a Band of Brothers here, because then I'd have to stay here. And there's nothing wrong with Pastor Robles, except it's in California. And I didn't want to be here. And then we started that. And then Dan Dow, the years go by, we're mentoring people. I was thinking through all the things that we've done with Band of Brothers, and we've probably had 800 to 1,000 men go through in the last 9 years. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's a great mentorship. And then I get a letter from the years go by, and this is probably 3 years ago now or somewhere around there. I get some emails from Dan Dow, our district attorney. Well, I have nothing to do with the district attorney, so I read the first paragraph, delete. And then I get another one, I read the first paragraph, delete. I get the next one, I get a paragraph, I delete. I mean, well, I don't have nothing to do with the district attorney. I mean, I like the guy, I voted for him, but, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not going to. And the next thing I know, I get a deal from his wife, Wendy. My husband has sent you three emails, and you have not, dot, 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 dot. And I started laughing about it, and I thought, well, apparently I'm supposed to go to a meeting. And that's how I went to the meeting. That's how we got into the prisons. That's how Band of Brothers is now doing Malachi Dads. That's how hundreds and hundreds of prisoners have come to Christ, all because of that. Amen? Amen? So I'm going to take us on a journey. I believe in the generation we find ourselves, we need to refocus, right here in the church too. We use the name of Christ all the time. We say it over the blessings. We sing about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we go to these things, and I'm sitting there, I'm going to tell you what, there's no one like the Lord. And I really believe we need a refocus. I'm talking about the radiance, the glory, and the majesty of who he is. So this morning, I want to suggest we need to ask something, and that is, who is Jesus the Christ? Who is he? What did he do? And where did he go? You know, I mean, I think back at this. In fact, I had a lady this week ask me, hey, why do you always say Jesus the Christ? What does that mean? I said, well, I wanted you to know that Christ isn't his last name. I wanted you to know he's the Christ. That's Messiah. And if you don't know him, and if you've never experienced the Christ, if you only know his name, and you've never experienced the Christ, the Messiah, you are struggling with yourself. You're still in your sin. You're always debating yourself. You're always in a war with yourself. Only when you've experienced the Christ himself are you called to freedom. Only there does everything change. Only then does the joy of the Lord become your strength. But many believe and talk about Jesus, but they don't know him as the Christ. They don't know him as the radiance. They don't know him as the glory. They don't know him in the majesty. So we're going to go there. And I have to tell you a little bit of a story. I haven't had this happen to me in decades, and it used to happen quite regularly, but it was just so holy the other day. It was this last week. I was reading, because I knew I was going to do out of Hebrews 1:3, and so I got into Hebrews chapter 1, and I'd read verse 1, which I'm going to read to you also, and 2, and then I'd go to 3, and then I would look over what God had given to me. As I sat in my office, I read out loud. I always read the Word of God out loud. And someone asked me, why do you do that? I said, you need to hear the sound of your voice. You're not reading a book. You are in the presence of the Almighty. You're taking in His breath. And if you don't get His breath into you, you are going to be in a really bad way. Because many will. I mean, when He comes, I think about it, He roars like a lion. I love that part. He roars like a lion. Oh, I'm telling you what, I promise you, when He's coming back as a lion. He's not the lamb anymore. The lamb that was slain is done. It's finished. It's over. When He returns, He will return in radiance, in glory, and majesty. And the earth will shake, and so will the heavens. And I look at it, I said, so why do I call Him Jesus the Christ? Because that's who He is. And I was reading the Word, and all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I'm at the end of Hebrews. I had no idea I was reading. I didn't know that Teresa was in the other room. She heard me reading. I didn't know anyone was there. I literally didn't read a chapter. I didn't know. I didn't see chapters. I didn't see verses. I walked into the presence of Almighty God. And when I got to the end of Hebrews, and He said, I just wrote this short little letter. And I'm thinking, boy, what you call short and what we call short is just totally different. And I thought, man, Father, I just walked into Your presence. And so I want to give this to You today. I want You to, if You can hear my voice and understand the magnitude that God loves you today. I want you to know there's never been an ounce of condemnation towards you. I want you to know that He came, He's humbled Himself, did all of this without one ounce of condemnation, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've ever done, no matter how you think, even on this day. But listen to these words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in many various ways. But In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom, I love this, and through whom He made the universe. I have a granddaughter who's always telling me the universe is doing good to her. I said, do you mean God started to speak to you? What is this universe? He made it. Now listen to these gracious words. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had made purification for sins, wow, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Yola boli. We're going to walk down a thing, and I call it, and I'm going to give you some heartfelt issues to look at a little different than I normally would do with you, but because I normally kind of fly by the seat of my pants here, and but some heartfelt issues to look at. I am deeply concerned in our generation. I'm deeply concerned. I get to go to different churches and speak, and I see people sitting there, and they are not there to worship. They are not being renewed. They are still struggling with themselves, and they've been in church for 50 years. They just don't get it. They still don't get it. Then the magnitude that in Christ, nothing ever gets old. Nothing ever gets old. It's always new, 100% all the time. There is no time zone of young and old. It is the present of eternity in Jesus the Christ. And so I want you to give these things, and I'm going to call it number one, our designer, number two, our deliverer, and number three, He is our defender. Listen to these words. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. He is the radiance of God's glory. This is the magnitude, radiance shining forth from the source of all light. He is the one. If you want to know what God is like, you have to look to Christ Himself. The Son of God, light of lights. He is the magnitude of everything that came. There was a reason when He was being born that the angels had to go to somebody. There was a reason the angels burst forth in praise. There was a reason they had to run into the city. There was a reason that Mary treasured these things in her heart. These things, 2,000 years later, we're just using the name. I think, oh, Father, the personification of God's nature. He is the radiance of God. He is the magnitude of everything you could wish. The light coming forth from its original source. This is who He is. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. You want to know Him. I thought about my own life. I said, Father, the other day, I said, I don't know how You did it. It's in my soul. But the very day when I was first introduced to You, when You came to me, when You gave me faith to believe, when You touched my soul, I told You, I just want to see You. I want to know You. I'm not interested in heaven. I'm not interested in any other blessing but you. I want you and you alone. What is the greatest commandment in the whole world? To love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And men and women of God, if we do not do that, repent. You're missing the magnitude of the life we were meant. We live right now in eternal life all the time. In a tent that is going to die. Thank God I don't get resurrected in this same body. Praise God. I don't know how he's going to pull all that stuff, but it's good. Christ is eternal. Jesus the Christ is eternal. He does not exist as an act as when he created man. Jesus Christ is the radiance of God's glory. Therefore, the Son can only reveal the Father. There's no one like him. He is absolute. He is timeless. And when we become aware of it, oh, Father, teach me to know you. Teach me. You sit there and think, how many times have you been struggling? How often do we struggle with ourselves? How many times have you been angry? How many times have you been irritated? How many times have we pushed our own will? While yet we're all saying we love Jesus Christ. In Christ, freedom is there. In Christ, the radiance is there. When I receive the gift of God's grace, I received absolute freedom. I can testify before the Lord today that for over 4 decades I've had no condemnation. I've had 4 decades of absolute freedom. I've had no stress. I've had no anxiety. Because he set me free. Does not mean, if you read my book, that, you know, I looked at that and I've had plenty of problems. People have, they call them problems. I just call them opportunities. And they're an opportunity for me to experience the radiance of God's glory. They've been allowed to me so I can experience the magnitude of faith, that I can understand the purification of sins. Glory, not merely the shining forth of one of God's attributes, but the whole thing. It's the whole thing. Everything God could be is Christ. The Son is the radiance of everything that God is. Everything. Can you imagine? Why does he say, you ask anything in my name? Why? Because it's the magnitude of the name of God. The demons know who he is. So I ask men and women all the time, do you? We need a refocus today. It's not just saying his name. It's the magnitude of who are you in his name? You have become a son or daughter of God. How has it affected your marriage? How has it affected your thinking? How has it affected the way you deal with one another? This is the magnitude of Christ. The incomprehensible glory of God comes forth in the Son. He is the radiance of God's glory. Just as we cannot see the sun that comes out, and we can't even see it without light, we will never understand the magnitude of God without the sun. This is the beauty. People are always asking me everywhere I go, are you always like this? Since the sun came into my life, I'm telling you, there's no one like him. I want to give him away today. I was talking with a man in our RV park yesterday, and I was telling him, he said, I'm assuming you preach. It was so cool. He's reading my book right now. I said, the only way I'll give you that book is if you read it, and then I want a commentary. He said, you got it, you know. And I thought, Father, this man was hurt, and when he was a young boy, at 7 years old, I think, he said in the church, he's never gone back since. And he's 69 years old. And I thought, well, I'm going to tell you something. There's someone that loves you. I'm going to tell you there's something greater than anything you could have possibly imagined. God is hidden from us without the Son. He is the image of the invisible God. Christ is the image of the invisible God. This is the magnitude. Jesus, the Christ, is God's radiance, yet not in unapproachable light, which no one can see or has ever seen. Like Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:6, he is the light we are all to see. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. The exact representation of his being, he is very image of the nature of God himself. You want to know what it's like? Read the Gospels and you'll know exactly what you are in Christ. He is conforming us to the image of Christ. Why? He is God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings. There's no one. When we come to sing, awaken, sons of God, awaken. Don't ever sing to the Lord like this. I promise you will never stand in his presence like this. You might as well get used to your hands near, because I promise you will. You will do that. It is holy. I think of this in the magnitude, the exact representation of his being, what God essentially is and manifested in Christ. To see Jesus Christ is to see the Father as he is. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How in the world do you keep saying, 'Show us the Father'?" The exact representation. There is nothing in the Father which is not produced in the Son. You know, I think, Mike, you've been taking us through Exodus, and I said everything about Exodus to show us the Son. Everything is there to awaken us. I look at us and I think, he is the revealer of God and the redeemer of man. He is the perfect expression of God's character. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. This is who he is. This is the one we're coming to. This is where we want to be, sustaining all things. Bob and I were talking just briefly before this, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You understand? He sustains everything. There's nothing. He upholds the universe. Everything is in its perfect time. Everything. And he doesn't uphold it like Atlas, holding up a dead weight on his shoulders. He upholds it, appointing everything to its appointed time, bringing it out to his purpose. And one day he will roll the heavens up like a scroll, and he will burn them and create a new heaven and a new earth where sin will never be. But right now, his word, he sustains everything. So he says, "Ask in my name and I will do it, Gus. Delight yourself in me and I will achieve it. I promise you." And what has happened is, the reason I'm bringing this to you is, we have forgotten to delight in the Lord. We have forgotten to rejoice in the Lord. We have forgotten to be joyful in the Lord. We have forgotten that our righteousness is in the Lord. We have forgotten that our peace is in the Lord. We have forgotten all of these things. Gentleness is in the Lord. No condemnation is in the Lord. A new creation is in the Lord. And once we awaken to that again, once we repent of that, and repentance can't be given just out of regret or sorrow. Repentance is given to out from a man or a woman as an act of worship. "Oh, Father, I forgot. I have forgotten." This is where we are. This is what we want to do. He upholds everything. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He commands and it stands fast. He says, "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this?" I mean, they're in a boat, and they're looking at him. These are the disciples, and they're having to say, "Who is this?" They awaken him in the storm, and he says, he speaks to the wind, he speaks to the water, and it obeys him? "Who is this? He is Lord of lords. He is the radiance of God, the magnificence, awakened sons of God. There's no one like him. And if you receive this with the joy he intended, no one will be like you." No one. Our community will come to repentance in a blink. Men and women will be drawn to you so fast they'll want to talk to you. My wife and I, everywhere we go, people are just woof. And somehow Jesus Christ comes up. Every single time. Every single time. Why? Because there's no one like him. Man, I love this thing. I said, here he is. Christ is described as absolute authority. He's our designer. He's our deliverer. After he had made purification of sins. Listen to the words. After he had made purification for sins. What had gripped the author of the Hebrews was that the very Son of God had come to deal with the problem of sin. What did he do with sin? After he had made purification. Purification. What is purification? What does that even mean? Why are we wrestling with each other? Why do we fight with one another? I look at this and I'm thinking, you know, I hear people say, "Well, you don't understand the dad I had. You don't understand the mom I had. You don't understand I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a mom." You don't know. I mean, what do you have in life? Receive Christ. And what happens? All of a sudden, there's awakening. You know, my dad, I tell you what, I had a great father. I'm glad he was on the earth. If he hadn't been on the earth, I wouldn't be here. The gifts that I have, I got a lot from my dad. I wouldn't have been a sniper in the United States Marine Corps had he not trained me. And I mean, I was glad to be that. I was glad I was trained to do all of those things. Yet I left home through a bedroom window after high school. And I never stopped loving my father. I couldn't stop loving him. I just couldn't stop it. I mean, I couldn't blame him for anything, even though he had less than stellar attitudes at moments. And I look back and I think, What is Christ? He's gripped. What's the problem? We had a problem with my sin nature. I don't want my sin nature. In Hebrews 2:7, Jesus the Christ is the atonement for our sins. In 8:12, Jesus the Christ put away sin. What did he do with sin? He put it away. Well, why don't you? Put it away. Put it away. Have you received the Redeemer? Have you received the Christ? Have you received the radiance of God? Then put your sin away. Quit arguing with each other. Quit getting into porno. Quit being unexcited. Receive the radiance of God's glory. You can receive it today. You can repent today without one ounce of condemnation. This is the magnificence. In 9:28, he bore our sins. In 10:12, he offered a sacrifice for sins. In 10:18, he made an offering for sin of himself. In 9:26, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Yola boli. Are you not just getting pumped? I mean, what's the problem in our world? Have you watched our Congress? What's the problem with those men? Sin. The condemning of sin. The foulness of sin. What is the problem with all the immorality in our country? Men marrying men, women marrying women. Unbelievable, grotesque sins of every kind and foulness. Sin. And we're afraid to say it. It's not politically correct to say that's wrong. It's harming you. Stop arguing if you've received the radiance of God's glory. If you know that the purification of sins means it literally the removal. I remove sin from you. I've removed the condemnation from you. I've removed your sorry attitude, Gus. I took away your anger. I have washed you. I have purified you. Now, here's the thing. Do you believe me? You don't have to work at it, Gus. What? I don't have to work at it? No. Do you believe me today? Do you have faith that what I did is true? Are you going to take me at my word like Abraham did? When I spoke to Abraham, I told him, I have a place for you. I'm going to make you a blessing of blessings. Did he believe me? He went without knowing diddly squat, except I told him something. He acted upon what I said. Will you act upon it? Do you know that I made the purification for your sins? Do you know that it is done? For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? If you possess these qualities, faith, if you possess the magnitude of the qualities of the character of Christ, it'll stop you from being ineffective and unproductive. But if anyone does not have them, if you do not have these qualities, this radiance, this purification, this glory, this majesty in Christ, if you do not, you are nearsighted and blind, and you have forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. A man or woman, have you forgotten? Have you forgot that you were cleansed from your past sins? Men and women of God, the church needs an awakening. The church needs an awakening. We need an awakening. We need to know what it is to love one another again, to love each other, so that we can esteem one another as more important, so that when we do find one of us in a sin, we restore them without condemning them. This is the beauty of holiness. This is the magnitude of Jesus Christ himself. This term also reveals that sin has defiled us. It's a stain in our soul. It's a stain in my mind. The term sin, harmatia, occurs 25 times in Hebrews, only exceeded by Romans. These are my favorite books. Romans is 48 times. Obviously, we have a great problem with sin. Do you know that we have a great problem with sin? Have you ever had a problem with sin? You have? Oh, praise God. You know that. Isn't that cool? Now, have you ever had a problem with sin? Yes? Do you know who came for the purification of your sin, of your problem? the radiance of God's glory, the one who is the purification of all of these things, so that we've been called to total freedom. This is Him. It's wonderful. In Jesus Christ alone, our sins dealt with. Only in Him. His grace has been provided as the remedy for the defilement of my sin so that I can live freely. Jesus the Christ has accomplished something incapable of achievement by anyone else, including myself. I cannot conquer my sin. I could not conquer my foulness. I could not conquer lust. I could not conquer a bad attitude. I could not stop arguing with my wife. I could not stop getting mad. I could not stop. Only Christ does that. By faith, I live in the magnitude of the radiance of God's glory. The Son, His name is Jesus the Christ. This is who we are. He is our defender. Did you know He's a defender of you? If He's a defender of you, are you a defender of everybody else? If He defends you, why aren't you defending? We defend one another. Do you think I would let somebody harm my wife? You'd make a mistake if you thought I would. Our oldest son, Scott, do you remember our son, Scotty? He was 16 years old when he badmouthed mom at dinner. And I walked over to him. I went to the end of the table. We had just said the blessing. Some of you are in that condition. We're just singing and you're not paying attention. We just said the blessing about the food that mom had prepared. He made this foul wisecrack to my wife. I walked around that table. I scooted his chair out. He was 16 years old. I picked him up like this over my head, bounced him off the ceiling. And as I'm holding him over my head, I said, "No one talks to my wife like that." Then I carried him down the hall like this. He told me he was spooked. What does God have to do with you? Does He have to bounce you off the ceiling? Do you understand? Jesus the Christ is the defender of your reputation. Jesus Christ loves you. He's not letting anything come to you that isn't allowed so that you can experience the sovereignty of His radiance, His glory, and His majesty. And some of these things that He allows our way are truly painful. But I am telling you, in the midst of it, He is the defender of us. He who sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, sitting denotes omnipotent rest, the right of place of honor. No literal location is intended, but the express exaltation of supremacy of Christ. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Yola boli. Therefore, God exalted Him to the name, to the highest place, and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Men and women of God, we live here. When you live here all the time, when that becomes your nature, you will be a free man and a free woman. If you're unwilling to choose that, you are not free. I promise you, you don't even have to tell it to me. I already know you're struggling with you. The joy of the Lord is not your strength. And you're a pain to be around. Nobody wants to be with you. Because you're always unhappy, always griping. You're always a victim. A victim of your own sin. No, He did the purification. This is the magnitude. He is in the majesty. Denotes the omnipotent glory of God. It is foolish to think that the omnipotent glory of God has a right or a left side. Majesty is infinite. His glory is everywhere. The earth, the universe will be filled with His glory. It's everywhere. The idea is the magnitude of what took place in the Son. Can you imagine the bursting forth? What noise was it when He ascended into the heavens? Can you imagine what took place when Gabriel's watching God Almighty come in a bodily form and sit in His majesty again? You think that somebody wasn't crying out, "Holy"? Man, I'm telling you, this is who Christ is. This is what we are meant to do. Oh, Father, this is how we want to make it. Listen to these words, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, above all rule, above all authority, above all power, above all dominion, and above every title that can be given. Not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church. Also, church, here it is. He is the prophet through whom God has spoken his final word. There is nothing left. He is that prophet. He is the priest who has accomplished a perfect work. He is the king who sits alongside the majesty on high. There's no one like him. I'm here to invite you to get renewed. I'm here to invite you into these wonderful things. Burst forth and never be ashamed. Awaken, O sons and daughters of God. Awaken. Restore our marriages, Father. Restore our community again. Set our souls on fire. You know, set our soul on fire. They used to say, you know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, when that young man asked him, teach me how to preach like you. Teach me how to preach like you. And remember what he said? He said, you spend time alone with God till he sets your soul on fire, and they'll come to watch you burn. And when they watch you burn, they'll catch fire. Men and women of God, our community needs you so desperately. We need you to be singing. We need you to be lit for Christ. We need you to shake the foundations of sin. We need that you absolutely know who you are in Christ. You know that's who you are. How do we begin to understand the beauty and the greatness of this text? For if the power of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, how is it that we may comprehend or come to God? How is this that life, that we could be set free? How is it that Paul could ever say to a Galatian church, you've been called to freedom, brethren, but don't use your freedom for an opportunity to indulge your sinful nature. Don't indulge your sinful nature. Go for it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he exists, and he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is the magnitude. Men and women of God, we need awakening. We need repentance today. You need repentance in your home. Don't go anymore like this. No more fighting. No more accusations. No more porno. No more. Enough is enough. We need to be awakened to the magnitude of this radiance, this glory, this majesty. Salvation is found. Salvation is found in no one else. What do you mean, salvation? The purification of my sin. My salvation was the purification of my sin. That God no longer holds a record book on me. There is no accountability anymore. There is no longer the condemning. There's a magnitude of, when I'm with my wife, I can be one with her now. I've learned to be one with my wife. You know, it took, I'm a slow person. I'm telling you what, it just took me forever to learn this. How to be one. For this reason, a man leaves his father and a mother. So why? So that the two can be one. They can be one. Not two in the same house. Two individuals with two different attitudes, struggling one another, tension going on, never in the same goals, never achieving anything, always having little rude occupations and attitudes. No, they were meant to become one. Then he goes on to say, now, guys, here it is. Here's the magnitude. Love your wife in the radiance of Christ. Love your wife in the glory of the Almighty. Love your wife in the majesty on high. This is what we're called to. This is us. So a question I want to ask you today, you are the only one that can answer it. Does your life reveal that Jesus, the Christ, who he is and what he has done? Does your life reveal that? Oh man, if it's yes, let's praise him. If it's yes, let's rejoice in him. If it's yes, let's delight in him. If it's not, if the answer is no, then let's repent. See how simple it is? No condemnation. Let's repent. Amen? Let's get it over with. Let's stop the fight. Let's stop the battle. Let's stop the tension. Christ didn't come for that. There's no one like him. When he said he came to sin, he did. He was the purification for our sins. If he has purified me, therefore there is now no condemnation. What do you mean? Well, that means there is no condemnation. Well, what do you mean? Well, it means actually there's no condemnation. Therefore, if I don't have it, I can't give you what I don't have. And too many of us have been condemning each other in our homes. We've condemned our neighborhoods. We come in and we're not here. When you come to church, what is the purpose? Why do you come? You come as the radiance of God's glory? Do you come as the majesty? You are the expression of everything we all need. Every time I'm around you, I get lit. Every time we hug one another, we shake a hand, the magnitude of Jesus Christ is here. He wants to overwhelm you. Now here's the key. You know, when I asked the prisoners, this is what I said to them. Are you willing today to present your bodies as a living sacrifice? Are you willing to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Are you willing? Do you know what that means? It means, are you willing? Now, Elias, let me say it one more time. Are you willing? That's what it means. And then I gave them the invitation. And man, Glenn and Glenda, you know, they came flat out fast, did they not? It was a tearjerker, wasn't it? I mean, it was a tearjerker. I mean, they, woof! Have you surrendered your will? Are you ready to surrender your will? Would you like to surrender your will? Would you like to be renewed today in the magnitude of Christ himself? Would you like, do you feel a burden at all on you? Have you ever felt stress? Have you ever known anxiety? Cast it upon him, for he cares for you. So, Bob, you're going to come up and lead us in a song. Amen. I don't know what we're singing, but I'm going to ask, I would love to pray for you. If you would like to come this morning just to say, I'm resurrendering my will, I would love for you to do that. If you've never known Christ, I want you to know the radiance of God's glory. I want you to know there's a magnitude in his name like no other name. I want you to know, would you like to have the joy of the Lord as your strength? Would you like to learn the magnitude? I'm telling you, God does not say be joyful in everything because you can't. He says be joyful in at all times. Why? Because that's what it's like in my son. When my son is the blessed of your life, when my son is the radiance in your life, when my son is the glory in your life, being joyful always is natural. Giving thanks in everything is natural. So would you stand with us? And if you'd like to come this morning and